Welcome to the DevCon Archives, featuring top sessions from the latest DevCon, which took place in Bangkok in November 2024. These episodes spotlight some of the best talks from the largest Ethereum developer conference, showcasing the technical advancements, mission, projects, and novel ideas shaping the Ethereum ecosystem. All talks have been recorded. You can find them on archive.devcon.org. Let's dive into today's featured talk.
Everybody, my name is Ohm. I was previously one of the co-founders of WalletGuard. Now I do security R&D at MetaMask. Today we're going to talk about the evolution of scams throughout the crypto space, specifically pertaining to end users. So let's start with some of the OG scams in Web3. First off, we have our enter your seed phrase here scams, your typical seed phrase stealers when you end up on a phishing website. You also have those send your money here and we'll double it. I'm sure everybody has seen this across Twitter or some of these other platforms. And then you also have some of these other types of scam methodologies where people reply to tweets and link this way to earn yield by using this arbitrage bot. Now, talking about some of the more interesting scams in the space that we've seen over the last couple of years are drainer kits. A lot of drainer kits actually started around May of 2022 with Monkey Drainer being one of the first drainer kits that kind of originated. Now, what's really interesting about Monkey Drainer and the origins of drainer kits is that it kind of replicates a business model that you see throughout the traditional cybersecurity space for like malware as a service, but now introducing it in a different aspect as drainers as a service. So how this actually works, oftentimes, is by approval farming. So when the early days of Monkey Drainer came about, they kind of were very targeted towards the NFT space. So what they did was they leveraged your open approvals that you already had on assets you've listed in the past on OpenSea or other platforms, and they essentially leveraged those approvals to essentially create a zero ETH listing to themselves, effectively draining you of your assets. Now, throughout his notoriety, he stole around $16 million USD before shutting down his operations. And from then, you had the rise of Inferno Drainer and Angel Drainer, which are some of the other more prevalent kits in the space. Inferno Drainer has stolen roughly around $80 million in assets, employing a lot of the similar tactics that Monkey Drainer had used in the past, but also leveraging newer techniques by using things like potentially over-engineering of certain protocols. Like Uniswap, for example, has a functionality where you can actually swap to another wallet address. And the intention behind this feature was so that you could swap directly into a cold wallet. But now, from an attacker's perspective, you can swap directly into their wallet. So by leveraging things like this, you can see what the pop-up might look like on WalletGuard. This was an actual transaction that was blocked. And the idea was just swapping directly into the attacker's wallet. Now, Angel Drainer is another really prevalent kit. Now, what they really employ that's a little bit different about them is their multi-chain draining strategy. As of recently, through efforts of MetaMask and the Security Alliance, Inferno Drainer has kind of shut down and started to work with Angel Drainer. So there have been a lot of changes and evolutions in the draining industry as a whole, but it's a constantly evolving field, and that's constantly affecting end users, given the idea that a lot of people sign transactions without really thinking about them. And what we're really trying to do nowadays through transaction simulation that a lot of wallets use is trying to portray to end users what exactly happens when you are actually committing a transaction on chain. Now, pig butchering and dating scams are also a massive, massive, massive plague on the industry. You see, you know, hits from like $5,000 to like hundreds of thousands of dollars. So these are very targeted attacks. They typically start on dating sites like Tinder or whatever else. And the idea is it can be as simple as a hey message and then lead to somebody asking to invest on some investment platform. Oftentimes it acts kind of like a Ponzi scheme in the beginning where you put money on there, you start earning, and then you trust it and you start investing even more money. Oftentimes that's why they call it pig butchering, because they fatten it up before they actually take the big hit and take every asset you have there. Now, this is also the, out of all the scam methodologies, this has the highest amount of return for the attacker per hit. Now, security is an ever-evolving cat and mouse game, but be assured that there are, you know, companies like MetaMask, Security Alliance, Blockade, and many other security vendors that exist out there that are constantly working on mitigating these threats. And that's all I have for you today, but I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Ohan. Questions? Please raise your hand. We're getting more crowded. Oh, there. Do you want to give it a try? I don't think I can make it that far. Thanks.
This might be embarrassing.
Ooh.
So question about the future of all those sophisticated techniques and drainers. Basically, we discussed the current state of them. From your experience and just looking at, you know, all the different smart contracts that are malicious, what is the future of that, like, operation that malicious actors are performing? Where is it all going right now?
Yeah, it's an interesting one because it's an ever-evolving field. Like, MetaMask has released some features as of recently to do a lot more on the client-side detection feature sets, and it's actually mitigated attackers very much so to the point where Inferno Drainer has consolidated into Angel Drainer, and other drainers have completely shut down, and we've made the barrier to entry for draining significantly harder than it's ever been. So it's a constant cat and mouse game where when we take out or disrupt one piece of infrastructure, they're going to migrate to another piece of infrastructure. You know, typically right now, we see a lot of infrastructure being leveraged like Cloudflare. So some of the bottlenecks that exist in the industry, for example, is, you know, people like Cloudflare who aren't taking as active measures to mitigate these threats. So it constantly evolves, though. So, like, if Cloudflare were to do something, they're going to migrate to something else. And that's why I called it a cat and mouse game.
There's a question at the front row, lady. Oh, this one at the back first? Okay, please.
So I have a question. What are the techniques for detection for these malicious transactions? For example, what differentiates a malicious approval from a non-malicious one?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So in the case of like Inferno Drainer or Monkey Drainer or some of these past draining kits, it's actually leveraging legitimate approvals. So like if you leave an open approval on your, let's say you were on Uniswap and you left an approval open for your for an asset you're gonna swap and you never revoke that approval afterwards, that approval could be leveraged to steal your assets in the future. So this is why like having good hygiene on your wallets by like revoking things that you don't need is like a really important tactic. So like back at WalletGuard, we released a product called like our security dashboard, and it would run a whole scan of your wallet to check like all the different assets you might have and the open approvals you have. So the idea was that lingering approvals are not a good thing, and if you're not using that approval, you should have it closed out.
I think the microphone is not working.
Oh, okay, there it goes. My question is essentially, it might be a little bit more philosophical, but I feel like there's a lot of creativity applied on the other side with black hats. How do you feel we can be more creative from our side in terms of protecting our assets and being proactive about preventing hacks?
You know, I think a lot of those responsibilities, security is actually falling on the wallets themselves. More and more, like one of the reasons that we were so keen to do the acquisition with MetaMask was because I truly fundamentally believe that security should be built at the wallet level. And it allows, like, by having security built at a wallet level, you get to impact transactions at a different level. Back in the days when we were operating as WalletGuard, we were essentially a browser extension that would be kind of a companion to your wallet. And as good as it wasn't the level of the stack we wanted to be at. And I think that's why like security really should be built at the wallet level, where the transaction's actually being controlled. So taking control of that transaction lifecycle is the most important thing we can do as on the blue team side.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Gimme. Let's give it up to Gimme. Sorry, to Ohan.
Thank you for listening. Be sure to visit archive.devcon.org to watch and listen to all the other DevCon talks. We look forward to seeing you next time.